Well, church, I want to tell you this morning, I walked in this morning, and Barry was saying to Joanne about preaching or something, and she said, "Oh, well, Glenn's preaching." "Oh, I am?" And before I left home, Joanne said something about it, and I looked in the schedule, and my schedule goes from April on through, and I looked in the older schedule, and this is not a reflection on you. That schedule only went to the end of February, so I didn't have no March, so I figured, well, it's not March. You know, I thought I had planned it ahead that, you know, I don't preach nothing until after we're back from Florida, back into April. I thought April 25th is my next one. Well, it was my turn this time. So, folks, this is going to be a work together, and it's not going to be a 45-minute message. Just in case you've wondered, it's going to be a participation of each of us as you take your Bibles and turn to Luke 18. Do I have the right chapter? I tell you, after I said that this morning, I thought, well, I think I'm just going to be like Barry. Just be steady, Freddy, no matter what comes your way. That's one of the characteristics that I see in my brother Barry. Steady Freddy, no matter what. Steady Barry. So here we are. We're going to spend some time together looking at Luke 18 as we continue on in this chapter, in this book, I should say. And of course, with the cross here, we know we're getting close to Easter. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, is that right? Palm Sunday, next Sunday. And I was at Moeller Church last Sunday, Moeller, and they gave me a cross to put in the yard. On the one side, it's a white with cross, and the one side, it's plain. On the other side, it's He is risen. So, one day you leave it out, and you have it plain, and then Sunday morning you turn around, He is risen. So, yes, Easter is coming, and we're very grateful for that. Join me as we have a time of prayer. Father God, we come to You, the creator and the sustainer of each one of us for every moment, for every time of life, as we submit and commit to You. Father, now, through Your Holy Spirit, lead us as we look at this scripture today, that we might glean and use it thereby to be part of the spiritual meal, as well as the songs that we have sang, that we are redeemed, and we thank You for the part of redemption that You have done. And help us, Lord, to continue to be the part that we need to do in our lives for Your honor and glory. Amen. Okay, so we have these Luke 18, and I have one word that's going to flow throughout the whole chapter. It starts with a P. It's persistence. Persistence the whole way through. And there's some other P's that are going to go along with that as we look at these scriptures this morning. But persistence is the overarching word for the morning. So somebody has Luke 18, 1 through 8, please.
Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time He refused, but finally He said to Himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Thank you. As we see here in these verses, the thing that jumped out to me is this lady's asking to this judge for what she wanted. Now, how many of us live in a day and age when that happens to us, or in the past we did it to our parents? Remember? If dad didn't answer, then you go to mom, and sometimes mom would say go to dad, and back and forth. I don't know, maybe that wasn't your case in your family, but it can happen. It can happen, and you children sitting back there understand how that works. And if someday you be a parent, why, you understand it the other side then. But it's interesting, this guy says here, I neither fear God nor man. And I thought, well, that's sort of relevant for the day and age in which we live. There seems to be people who are just ignoring what God says, and I don't know what, something was said recently about that brought that to my mind, that I neither fear God or man, something that I heard. But here this judge was finally willing to say, okay, we're going to give what she wants. And she did. They did for that. So how many will I find who have faith and prayer? When I, the Messiah, return, how many will I find who have faith and are praying? How's your faith this morning? What level is it at? If we had a barometer up here or thermometer, whatever, where would your faith be at? Now, remember, I'm going from this point here. I'm not asking if it's from here down. I'm asking how far is it from here up. I'm expecting faith. Where is it? Maybe it'd be different if I asked you last week where your faith was. Does your week affect where your faith is? How about your prayer life? Let's move on to the parable of the two men who prayed. Somebody has Luke 9 through 14, please.
Luke 18, 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look at heaven and beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Okay. What is our character like? What is our character like? Here we have these two persons. One was proud, self-righteous. The other a cheating tax collector. I don't know if I probably have fit into one of those categories in my lifetime. Being proud of something, being self-righteous. I don't know. Have I ever cheated anybody? Wouldn't knowingly do that. But the proud Pharisee prays. Isn't that interesting? How he thinks that he is so much better. Do some of those things go through your mind throughout the week? Depends where you're at, what you hear on the radio or on the news, or who you're associating with. Do you think you're just a little bit better than they are? Those people in that situation, I'm not like that. I wouldn't even think of doing that. Beware lest we be in one of those situations. Thank God, the tax collector prays, Oh, no, it isn't. But the corrupt tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed, but beat upon his chest in sorrow, exclaiming, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me not to look down and say about that other person, that other situation, help us, Lord, to be merciful, because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Moving on, where God, Jesus blesses the little children. How about Luke 15 through 17, please?
People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.
We have our baby dedication. Time to dedicate our babies to the Lord. But it's more also, the babies don't know what's going on, but the people, the parents, are the ones who are dedicating themselves to God, to be the people, to bring these children up in the way God would want us to. Yeah, isn't it interesting, these disciples that he had? They didn't even want them to come. They say, go away. So that's another thing that I see here in this chapter. The disciples are telling him to go away. My question to you and I is, are there times in life that we say, go away, go some other place. Don't come to us. Don't come to me. Go some other place. We send them away. But we see the kingdom of heaven belongs to those whose hearts are trusting. I think I heard that word before already this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for working through that. Trusting as these little children. And anyone who doesn't have that kind of faith will never get within the kingdom of the kingdom gates. And you know that I'm not reading from the King James this morning. It's a living Bible. So let's be cautious that we aren't sending people away, children away. Let us be those who would be bringing them. Let's move on to verse 18, please. Somebody has that one.
A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in his age and in the age to come eternal life.
Thank you. We see here this rich young ruler. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Do we ask that question? Do we think about that? What must we do? I think it was the last time I preached on our commitment to being a disciple. Do we realize what commitment that is that we made? Do we see the commitment here that these disciples made in following Jesus? Do you realize what you're saying when you call me good, Jesus asked? Only God is good and no one else. It's interesting here that some people in life can deflect praise easier than others. Some can soak that praise in like nothing. I know a person who, when the person is praised, it's always deflected to some place else. But it really is going, should be to that person. But that's just their nature. And I think we need to, that's a good nature to follow, to look at. And then he goes on to say about the Ten Commandments. As well, we know them. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. Honor your parents. And so on. The man replied, I've obeyed every one of these laws. And I was, when I was a small child, since I was a small child. Woo! Covered everything. Nothing missing. How are you doing today? How am I doing today? There's still one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. Ooh. Wants them to sell all? I think that's where we need to look at commitment again in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. As a disciple, what commitment level do we have? Where is our commitment level? And I'm going from here up, not from there down. I'm going from here up. What is your commitment level? And that's something for you to chew on throughout the week. Yep, he says, sell your treasures and come and follow me. Come and follow me. But he went away sad, for he was very rich. How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You have to have a pretty big needle to put a camel through it. But the essence of it is, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. But praise God, he gives us strength and understanding to do that. And then he says, God can do what man can't do. And then Peter says, we have left homes and followed you. Yes, Jesus replied, everyone who has done as you have, leaving home, wife, brother, brothers, parents, children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, will be repaid many times over, as well as receiving eternal life in the world to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Then let's move on to 33, verse 33 through 34, please.
31 to 34.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Got the wrong one there.
Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of God will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about.
Okay. So we see prophecy going to be fulfilled. And as we come to Easter again this year, Palm Sunday, we see a lot of prophecy being fulfilled and being taken shape. Then he tells, I'll be handed over to the Gentiles. He'll be mocked. He'll be treated shamefully, spit upon. That's pretty calming there. But if you start thinking what happened to Jesus, I was reminded of that. Some time ago, I was working at a place along sort of a hedgerow, and something was jagging at me. And I looked around, and there was like spikes, thorns about that long. No wonder it was jagging me. And right away, to my head, I thought, the crown of thorns that our Savior would have taken for my sin and for your sin. the suffering, the shame, the ridicule that he had. But we know Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. Praise the Lord for that. Let's move on to the verses after that. 35 through 43, please.
As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Persistence. Persistence in faith and trust. Where do beggars sit? They don't sit along some back road where there's not a lot of people. They're sitting along the main road where there's as many people going by as the New Beginning Church passed by. And what did they do for this guy? Well, here they're going along, and this blind man starts crying out, and these people that are walking by say, "Hey, hush up, hush up. Don't bother, don't bother." But what do we see? We see a blind man whose senses he can't see, but he can hear, and that gets your other senses, is what I understand, get really sharp. So he heard, and then he asked, "Who's passing by? What's going on?" And as they asked him, he said he was told that Jesus from Nazareth was going by. So he began shouting louder, and they tried to get him quieter. Think about that. Sometimes we need to open up and talk a little louder. Sometimes we need to even talk. The crowds ahead of Jesus tried to hush him, but he yelled louder and louder. I didn't know if you were going to shout it out or not, Larry. Then Jesus arrived at the spot, and Jesus says, "Bring the blind man to me. Bring him to me. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" We have a Savior. We have a Savior who is waiting to answer our call, to answer what we want. Jesus answered and arrived here, and he said, "Bring him here." And Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he pleaded, "I want to see. I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, begin seeing." This time, he said the words. Sometimes he got the mud and put in the eyes. Sometimes he touched people. Jesus was not bound to any form of doing things. He was always available to help people. What does he say? Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see and follow Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it happen, praise God. I remember in my healthcare days, I took a man to the eye doctor. He was getting a cataract removed. And after that happened, he saw pictures of his grandchildren that he hadn't seen. That all they were before was fuzzy and things. And it just became clear. Just became clear. This morning, this week, may Jesus become clearer. May we focus. May we turn that focus button so that we get a clearer view of who Jesus is, what he has done for you and I, and what are we doing for him. Let us pray. God of grace, God of mercy, we thank you for this parables, these scriptures into your life as you walk this earth. The Jesus of Nazareth, who went, walked this earth, showed us a way so that we might live and be a people, a peculiar people, in fact, for your kingdom building. I pray your blessing upon each one of us here. I pray for your Holy Spirit's unction. I pray for your movement in our lives, in our activities, in all that we say and do. That, Father, your kingdom may be promoted, your will would be accomplished, and your kingdom increased. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. With you and us this week.
So he's faithful. That was a good message, Glenn. I appreciate that. Thank you. It reminded me, I was once at a training for a week at Dove Christian Fellowship in Ephrata, and it was about evangelism. There's a man from New Zealand there, Trevor Yaxley, leading it, and we were sent out into the communities in the afternoon to just tell people about Jesus. And in the evening, he's looking over the crowd. There's a lot of young people. I was a young person back then. And he said to this one young man, come up here. He was about 10 or 12. He says, okay, take your Bible. And he put the Bible and he opened up and he says, there, preach. And the kid looked and read the scripture and started talking. Off he went. It was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it. But you got to be ready. So, right now we're going to do something a little unusual, a little different, but Barry will soon be stepping out in his role as elder in New Beginnings. And so we decided that this would be a fitting time to celebrate the lives of Barry and Colleen Haldeman. Right, exactly. Both Barry and Colleen have been so faithful to God for many, many years. And they were one of a handful of individuals that were called by God to start this new thing, which was called a church plant back in 2003, which eventually became known as New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. And to their credit, they were willing to give up the familiar surroundings of an established church in Chickies and go off to a fire hall to worship and lead this fledgling new church plant under these rookie leaders, Scott and Mike, who had no clue what was going on. That's called faith. But they left all those familiar surroundings behind, because they knew it was God calling them. You see, the Lord in his wisdom knew we needed them. He knew we needed the backbone of the body in New Beginnings, and that's what they have been. They have been there to support and hold it all together over the many, many years. And you need a backbone or you don't do much, right, without it. So Barry and Colleen have been a vital part of New Beginnings from the start and have been very faithful to the call of God in their lives and have been a great blessing to each one of us in so many ways. And so with a new elder coming in soon, which we still need to determine, which God already knows, but We just need to know. This is going to be a new chapter for both Barry and Colleen in their role. Barry's going to continue as an elder in a more limited role as this year goes on, and we transition to a new elder. So I'm going to invite Barry and Colleen to come on up here this morning, if you would. Just stand up here with me. I know this is out of character. But we just appreciate you guys. You have been wonderful, great. And listen, we applaud people for doing great athletic achievements or some great performance of singing or playing an instrument or whatever, but we rarely do that in a church setting. And I know you guys aren't one for applause, but let's stand up and give them a standing ovation for their faithfulness to the Lord. And so you have been awesome. So what we encourage the people to do is to write some thoughts down for Barry and Colleen. So each different person in the church, each family, just was reminiscing about Barry and Colleen and how you have blessed them in their lives. And so these are all cards from all of us saying thank you. And we are sneaky. I get that from my mom. So take these. These are cards from all of us. You can read this some other time. But this is a gift from New Beginnings. And we'd like you to open that now, if you would. Sure.
You can sit down.
Yeah, you can sit back down. Again, this is just a token of our appreciation for your years of faithful service to the Lord and for blessing us in so many ways. So what we got for Barry and Colleen are enough tickets for them and each of their children and their siblings, or their children and their wives or husbands, to go to Sight and Sound, and then also for out for dinner. So it's
thank you very much.
Sure. And it's just, like I said, a small thank you for both of you. Come on up. Let's pray for Barry and Colleen. We're going to just lay hands on that. This will be the closing of our service. So, yep, get a spot where you can just lay your hand on Barry or Colleen. And let's pray. Father God, you are so good and you are so faithful. You're so wise and you're so wonderful. And you bless us in so many ways. And we thank you, Lord God, for the lives of Barry and Colleen Haldeman. Lord, they are your servants. They have followed you and served you all their lives. And you have used them in so many ways, Lord, to just be a blessing to those around them. No matter who they're with or what they're doing, they have been a blessing. And they have been a great ambassador for you and for your kingdom, and continue to be that. So we are been blessed to have them, to know them, and to have received from them. And we just thank you. We thank you for lives that have been well lived for you. And they're not done yet, Lord. We know that. We see that in the lives of their children and your grandchildren. And you have been so good, and you have worked through them. We pray now, Lord, as Barry and Colleen or in those golden years, as they call them. We pray, Lord, that they will continue to serve and be a blessing to many people as their days continue. We know that you have every day planned for them, and they intend to serve and bless others as long as they have breath. I know that. And so now, Lord, we just pray that they would just sense your blessings and your enjoyment of them, Lord. You just are so thrilled to have such a wonderful son and daughter as this couple. And so we just agree, Lord, that you will continue to bless them to be a blessing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.